Today I want to tell you about a program that you as cotton buyers and mills can use and use the information that the program provides in order to add predictability as well as value into the bales you buy. The program I'm talking about is the Certified Cotton Gin Program. This program is based on the fact that gins impact fiber quality and play a role in the cotton supply chain. We believe that some gins take special steps to address quality issues and others do not. This program also acknowledges that all gins are not the same. It does promote the efforts of its member gins to merchants and mills worldwide. The program was formed in March of 2006 by Samuel Jackson Incorporated. Initially, the program was in response to water spray damage occurring at the gin level, reaching a point where it could no longer be ignored. Many gins in our industry that were doing a very good job were being lumped into the same group with gins that were being very negligent. Samuel Jackson's consistent leadership in fiber quality issues at the gin level, as well as 50 years of direct moisture technology in gins, made them a perfect company to take the ball and promote this program, educating the industry about both the good and the bad uses of moisture in a gin. As you'll see in my presentation, the program quickly evolved to promote other aspects of quality ginning. Currently, there are 50 certified gins representing 2.5 million bales. 49 of these gins are in the United States, as well as one in Australia. These gins use good ginning principles, technical expertise, as well as simply avoiding negligent ginning practices in order to preserve fiber quality and increase bale value for the mills. Primary certification is the base level of certification for each gin in the program. As part of this, I'm just going to go through each of these requirements that each gin must meet. A certified gin must not use a water spray device for lint moisture restoration. It must not use any device that reintroduces motes into the lint bale. It must have thermocouples installed in recommended locations. It must also have automatic high limit protection on each heater. A certified gin must adopt the contamination prevention policy as a minimum standard for their gin. They must have a handheld meter to measure seed cotton as well as bale moisture. And because people and training are so important, each certified gin must have trained personnel on all of the importance of all of these issues. Do keep in mind that primary certification, these requirements that I've just listed, are a minimum standard for each certified gin. These practices that I've just gone through are not reflected in the bales grade, but are very helpful to cotton suppliers and mills. We believe that mills should use fiber quality characteristics in order to determine which bales they would like to use, and then use the predictability offered by this program in order to make the best cotton buying decision. I've recently come back from a 2-week trip to China where I went around visiting textile mills and answering the question I pose in front of you today. As a buyer or mill, what does using certified cotton mean to me? I'm going to take a few examples from our primary certification requirements and explain how they're both detrimental in the gin as well as either detrimental to the mill or a positive to the mill. The first, as I mentioned earlier, is the reason our program was started. There was a lot of water spray damage occurring at gins to many thousands of bales in many different gins. And unfortunately, many gins still spray water on bales. Both mills and buyers prefer bales that are not subjected to these systems. One of the problems is that damage is often internal and the classing data appears normal. This damage turns up in the mill's opening room, which many times is thousands of miles from the point of origin for that bale. At this point, the mill suffers great economic loss and loss of confidence in its supplier. That's in both the merchant as well as even the region. Certified gins don't spray water, so they alleviate this concern for the users of their bales. Another interesting note that I found as I visited many mills in China is that many of them complain about the short fiber content they find in U.S. bales. I know many of you work with classing data every day and know that there's not a direct measurement for short fiber content in classing data. We know that you use clues found in the classing data in order to predict short fiber content. We believe this program offers additional clues in order to help you with that decision. It's a fact that excessively dry cotton at the ginning point increases short fiber content. Certified gins have proper thermocouple placement and automatic high temperature limits on their heaters to prevent this excessive heat as well as over drying. In a less noted practice, but equally detrimental, some gins use lint reclaiming devices. These devices take the moats, which are removed by lint cleaners in the gin, clean these moats, and put them back into the lint bale. As part of this practice, it relates to direct waste at the mill, as well as increased short fiber content. Certified gins are restricted from using these devices. One part of our program that was especially appealing to all mills was the contamination prevention policy. This is because mills have a major impact on their production efficiency as well as their bottom line due to any contamination. So much so that many mills employ hundreds of workers to sort each bale by hand. As you can see in the picture on the top, that might have taken a mill worker hours to get that much contamination, but it was worth it because it didn't go on into their plant. As a practical example of how our program addresses this issue, I'm just going to take a few points out of the extensive contamination prevention policy and go through them with you. Contamination often comes in the gin from module tarps. Damaged module covers must be repaired or replaced annually at a certified gin. Certified gins employ a non-smoking policy in the plant and the warehouse. And many times it's not that employees of gins don't know that there's contamination problems, it's that they don't know what to do about it. This program has a specific protocol for a contaminated bale, so that employee knows who to tell or what to do to address this problem. This policy assures mills of the special steps certified gins take to reduce contamination in the bales they process. Earlier I mentioned that the steps that each gin has to do are for primary certification. This is the base level of certification. In addition to that, we have additional certification ratings which give mills more information and more value. You can see there's gentle drying, seed cotton conditioning, lint conditioning, moisture monitoring and measurement, and pedigree bale. Just to give you a brief example, let's look at gentle drying. This is using higher volumes and low temperatures in order to protect staple, give better cleaning, and have fewer neps in bales. If you as a cotton buyer or mill are looking for bales with these characteristics, you would want to look for a certified gin with a high gentle drying score. There's a lot more information on our website, certifiedcotton.com, that explains the benefits of using these additional certification ratings. While what these gins are doing is great in itself, unless we're getting the message to the end users of their bales, we're not doing very much for them. So our promotion efforts have included advertisements in Textile World Asia, as well as Cotton International World Report. We've done global mail outs to merchants, buyers, and mills. We've had articles written in several publications, including the most recent one you see on the right in Textile World Asia. And also, as I've mentioned a few times in my presentation, we make face-to-face mill visits, such as going to China. We think this is important because not only are we telling these mills about what these gins are doing for them, but we're also finding out what we're not doing enough of. This program is about information for a two-way street. We want to tell them what we're doing as well as find out what they want. CertifiedCotton.com is an integral part of the program. The most significant aspect of it is the Certified Gin Roster. This is where a cotton buyer or a mill can take the prospective bales they're looking to buy and compare them by USDA gin code or by gin name if they're an international gin to the gins that are part of this program. The information is currently free, so it doesn't cost you a penny more to buy certified cotton. The site statistics give us a good information about how well we're doing promoting the program. Currently, we've had over 1,200 unique visitors to the site per month. We've had visitors from over 50 different countries, as well as the top 50 cities. 12 of them are from China, including Beijing, China, being the number one city in the world for several months. If I could leave you with one final thought about this program, I'd like for you to take a look at these two bales. I know many of you don't work with gins day in and day out, and so this program might seem like it's something that doesn't directly apply to you. But as you consider the bales that you purchase, imagine, if you will, these two bales in front of you have the exact same fiber quality specifications based on the grade sheet. The same staple, the same strength, the same leaf, the same color, the same micronaire. Everything is the same. The only difference is the bale on the left was ginned at a certified gin. Now, all of a sudden, in addition to the classing data, you know that this bale has not been subjected to a water spray system. It's had safe temperatures applied to it. The gin has a contamination prevention policy. There may be additional certification. And also, it doesn't cost you any more. When you compare the known versus the unknown, why would you not, as a cotton buyer or mill, use certified cotton? Thank you for your time.